New York! Global! Game Jam!
Woo! So yeah, it's 10 Corny Game Design Tips. Number 8 will change your life forever. As said, Alec Dawson from Team Simple Machine. Good morning. Alright, so number 1. Number 1. No one's not playing, but fail, and fail some more. So, when you're making games, right, the first game you make is going to suck, okay? It's going to be bad because you probably have no idea what you're doing. And the only way you're going to get better is by messing up again. And even when you do know what you're doing, you're still going to mess up until you finally have some sort of craft behind what you're actually completing. So, but the problem is, if you just work until something's perfect, it actually won't reach that level. So you have to be very iterative in your design, right? You have to make sure that you are continuously trying new things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, cutting the fat, and then slimming it down. Because that's sort of what our whole process is going to be here, is an iterative process where we're going to build on top of things, and then, you know, see what the core is, and get back to it, and then do that again, get back to the core, and eventually you're going to have this very like meaty game, right? And that's what you want to have. You want to have things that are actually feel good, actually people want to play, which I'll get into a little bit. But you can only do that through not being afraid of failure, because, and that's just sort of a humble thing of the game design industry, is that you have to be okay with failing a bunch. Otherwise, what you're going to make, you're going to be insecure about, you're going to be scared about it. So it's okay to fail, and it's actually a really good process. Okay, bottom line, and this is something I think is said as something that people overlook all the time, is that your game is actually has to be fun. Don't come in here, especially like a global game jam this weekend. This is a very like open event, very fun event. It's all about like excitement and people are making cool stuff, right? You're not gonna make The Witness in a day. Alright? You're not going to make some high level deep thing that people consider art in 2 days. And if you do, that's amazing, you got super lucky, and that's awesome. But your game at the end of the day just has to be fun. Don't think of it as, even if you're trying to teach people certain themes and trying to get a message across, it helps if it's fun. It's something that's engaging to people, something that actually they're going to interact with, instead of, okay, this person didn't understand my game, it's their fault. That's not true. It's, you're the designer, you're making your games for the players, and at the end of the day, make something that's actually engaging for them, actually fun. And that sort of goes into my next point a little bit. Actually, it's going to be point 4, but... Okay, so, who's making a digital game here? Digital. One, raise your hands high, please. Okay, so who's making something that's not digital? Okay, so, what are the rest of you guys making? Somebody. Throw something out. Do you know yet? Is that probably where we're at? We don't know yet, right? Okay. So a lot of times, you're going to try to make a digital game, probably Unity, right? Unity? No? Unity? Yeah? Okay. And what you're going to want to do is, you're going to have this grand idea. You're going to try to make it in Unity, and then by the end of Sunday, whenever everything's due, you're like, okay, this is finally the game. It's the first time to actually test what our game's about. Don't do that, all right? Don't wait until tomorrow for the first time ever to test what your interaction is, test what, you know, what systems you're gonna have in place, if you're making a resource management game. Do the resources, do the funnels actually work? Like, when I buy this resource, is it actually affecting how the games are being played? You can do that without making your game in Unity and everything. You do that with paper, okay? Your pen and paper. You can do it with, if anyone has like a board game around and just board game pieces. Great ones like Pandemic, that's what we usually use in our office. We use Pandemic because it has like really nice pieces to use. There's also tools online, and something called like Imagination, that's really great for inputting numbers and seeing if the map will check out on a certain game. So start with what sort of interaction you actually want to achieve. And then make that in paper first. I think this week actually, our office, we were making a game about a little girl and a dragon, right? And the interaction was about a lot of role-playing, and you were going through and talking to this dragon, and it was telling you things about this village. We started with paper and just talking and role-playing it ourselves, because we knew what the interaction was going to be at the end of the day. Even if you're making a first-person shooter, and there's some sort of mechanic in there you think is really interesting, grab some freaking Nerf guns or something. You know, like, this doesn't have to be the first time you try something digital, and that's not what you need to do. Okay? So start with the basics, so that you know what interaction you're going for, and then if you can achieve on that level, then build on top of that.
Huh.
Okay, so who's in a team right now? Are you guys looking for teams? That is all that's going on? No? By yourself? Alright. Okay, so if you're in a team, this is mainly towards people that are in teams, stop saying no. This is probably the biggest thing, it's not just about game design, it's about working in team groups and like professionally anyway. But especially games, because it's about creativity, right? Okay. So, tell me an idea that you want to work on.
So, the game we're making?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Okay, so it's a
multi-player game. No, I don't like that. Okay, but he did. Okay. So, like, see this sort of interaction? See, you slumped down, right? Because you're upset, right? Yeah, don't do that, guys. Don't do that here. Don't say no to people. Ask about what their ideas are. Ask, okay, cool, I understand that, and what about this? Like, go into a different way. If you just shoot your teammates down the whole time, what are you going to have at the end of the day?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So please just talk to your teammates, ask them what they want to make. If they throw out a crazy idea, ask where they're coming from. Ask where that imagination is coming from. Ask what they're trying to get to. And then maybe with some guidance, you can get to something that's really like beautiful, right? But if you just shoot people down at the beginning of the day, especially in games, you won't have a really good creative process, and you won't actually make something that's going for you.
Okay.
I kind of said this earlier, but games are for play. Games are meant to be played. Games are designed, right? So when you're designing something, it's because there's an end user. It's if you're making art, it's very different, but games are designed, and you're making them for someone. That can be a specific someone. This could be a game for, you know, your son or daughter. This can be a game for girlfriend, boyfriend, something like that. You can make a game for a specific person if you want to, but games are for people. They're not for you, okay? And if you're playing to this with that sort of mantra, you're probably going to make something terrible, right? So think about what people like. Think about why they're being engaged. Think about, yeah, what are their wants, what are their needs? Because if you don't actually get there, it's not something that someone's going to want to play, okay? So games are for the players. Pretty simple, I think, but yeah. Okay, so here's some other stuff about just sort of in our design process, some tips, things to be conscious of. So don't let feature creep happen. Who knows what feature creep is?
What's
Yeah, so basically you keep throwing things on top of your layer of games, you layer on, and then can't do anything with it anymore. Okay, so in your process, right, think about like what the core interaction is, right? And focus on that first. That needs to be tight, that needs to be good, it needs to feel good, right? It needs to feel alive, in a sense. If you just keep throwing on, so in your process, you guys are all talking, just sitting around, you're like, okay, I want to make this, and then someone comes on and, oh, we need this, and this too, and then you guys keep going, and then you have this giant document of what you want to make, right? We're not going to get that done right now, first off, and just time constraints. Secondly, that's not a good place to start. So you need to start with the one thing that you're really trying to get done. The one feeling that you want the player to have. You're like, okay, this is a platformer, and it has this jumping mechanic. Start there. get that as well as you can, and then layer some stuff on. Because if you let this happen, you're going to be so cumbersome with everything that's going to be happening, and you guys are going to get anything done at the end of the day. So don't let feature creep happen. Yeah. Simple one here too. 10% rule. So 10% of project at the end is going to be 9% of the work. That's like polish and stuff, right? It's not going to be that important this weekend for a lot of you. Don't necessarily worry about this. Don't worry about, oh, are the graphics too good? Or is the sound the perfect way? Those things are all like things that take months in studios. And you probably won't even get to it. So I would just say focus on that 90%, the feel of the game, the players, and if it actually is a good interaction for right now, rather than if everything's going to be perfect. Okay? I know it takes a lot of pride to sort of ditch that away, but if you can do that, you can get to a really good thing. All right, so here's one that we do in the machine, my office. And it's one of like the things I think that is best for all of you. Oh yeah, this is number 8. It's gonna change your life. It's called the Starbucks test. So what we do is we have a prototype and we're going to test it. We take it to Starbucks. Why Starbucks? Anybody have any guesses about that? All kinds of people. People are busy at Starbucks too. Right? They're getting their coffee. You know how like a personal experience that is? You stay in line for coffee, especially at Starbucks, people know exactly what they want. They know the order because they go there probably every day. That's how Starbucks customers are. And they don't want to be bothered. Right? Now, you might say that's a bad thing, but if you... So don't like go around shoving something in their face, but ask if they have a minute to, spend time at your game. And that's because these people are on their way. They're on their commute. And if they actually, you'll get the best sort of feedback because if they don't like it, they'll say they're busy and they'll dip out, right? If they do like it, you actually see that engagement. And this is someone that is on their way somewhere. And if they are taking time to play your game, that's truly meaningful, right? And you'll get very honest advice too. Because as I said, they are busy. So they probably don't, if they don't like it, they're going to tell you anyway. But it's a great venue. So I'd say take your game out to people that you've never met before. Strangers. Public venues where people are in a certain routine. Because then you can change the routine and they actually give you the attention. Then you know you have something. Yeah. Tips about doing that. Just be nice. Just be nice to people. I don't ask like, excuse me, to play this game for a second and make it your game plan. That's something that people will respond to if you're just nice and don't force it in the face. But this is a really good type of venue that we've had a lot of success with. Especially it's good because we need to get out of here and testing games, right? Because a lot of us are very familiar with games, and when you take the people that aren't familiar with games, that's the important part.
Get weird.
Yeah. anybody have like weird ideas so far about this game jam, like what they're gonna make?
Yeah, we do. Our game is basically a puzzle weapon game, and we're serving a sentient cloud, like deep cloud.
Okay, so cool. We're like praying to it and stuff.
Building a monument.
Building a monument to cloud. That's awesome. Anybody else what you got?
Like, in our view, like, it's like it could be a versus game where you also like sacrifice cows, like get bigger.
Awesome, yeah. So here is a place where we don't need to be serious. And some of those brilliant ideas are going to just be out of weirdest places. As I said, like, just have fun. Get weird, do weird idle stuff with the cloud. Those are things of projects also, like people are going to take interest of first, right? They're going to hear that like tagline, okay, this is puzzle action game where we're serving the cloud. Oh, I want to see that, right? Once I hear something like that. So sort of have that hook a little bit to your work.
And then finally, yeah, what a little teamwork.
I did tell you this is 10 corny things about game design. and working the teams. So we're going to talk about that one. That's how you're going to get to your goal. Guys, even the people that make games by themselves still have people that help them. Okay? And that's just something that you need to be very aware of. Asking for help is not a bad thing. You're probably not going to be the artist, programmer, sound designer, narrative designer, game designer, everything that goes into that, right? Find a role, too. And don't be afraid to assume that role. Like, okay, my art is awesome. I'm going to help somebody do art. I don't know how to code. Cool. Here's somebody who knows how to code. That's why we're here. Here to group up with teams and actually do some good cool work.
So just a little bonus round for you guys. Just some free things that you can definitely check out for sound and art. Sound stuff. Kind of cut off there. But BFXer is really great for 8-bit sounds. You can kind of mix your own tunes online. It will output into OGG formats or WAV formats too. And then the other one, Game Sounds at XYZ. That's like a big library that was came out in GDC last year. So it's a big sound library, tons of stuff from people that actually work in the industry and everything. And then art, if you're using Unity Asset Source, great. Turbo Squid's great. So that was pretty quick, but yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So does anybody have questions for me? It can be about any of this or any other things that they're wondering about working on a game or, finding what they're going to do next with their game. So.
Where should I start? I have nothing. how do I take that first
step? Well, then we have your theme, right?
We do. We have ritual.
Okay, so that's somewhere to start, of course. And I would just think about, what of that theme is interesting to you. I think you can be a little introspective in that sense. You can kind of, what's interesting for me about this specific constraint? And then just write stuff down. Write everything that comes to mind. I think that's probably the best process there. Take 60 seconds. Any thought that comes into your head, jot down. Just barf over the paper, and there might be something good in that.
Where did you get your start?
Where did I get my start? I've always been very interested in games. Everyone probably is, right? But I went to grad school and started making games. Parsons, about 3 years ago. Yeah, so I actually took the leap to start studying. Yeah, and now we're in Simple Machine here. So yeah, you guys are actually if you've never worked on games here, in your life, and it's your first time. Is anybody first time working on games? Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so I actually when I was growing up, I actually didn't know about building down, Unity wasn't out when I was in middle school and stuff, so that's amazing. Really treat this as a really good first step. This is probably one of the best ways to get your first step. Other questions? What's this language you use? Have you learned any before? JavaScript is pretty easy if you're going from HTML CSS because it kind of relates in some way. Because you need some button stuff. But if you are starting, Unity tutorials are great. You also take a bunch of tutorials on Code Academy and stuff like that. Start with those. Those are actually good if you actually give the time to learn, watch the videos, do the practices, and all the tests and everything. That's great. Unity is great because it's not just for people like us where we're just making a project for this weekend. It's also because you can use it commercially, things like that. You can actually multi-platform, so it ports out to a lot of stuff, really easy in that sense. Yeah. And it's free until you start making a ton of money.
My favorite?
We made a game called Smooth earlier this year that I really liked.
little minimalist pitch game. I also a game called Lex about 2 summers ago. It was like a super, super hardcore board game. But yeah, so we made, and we've made, like my team in the last 3 years, we made like 10 games on mobile. They're all like on iOS and Android. Our most famous one's called Pop the Lock. It's a very like simple minimalist game. Yeah. So they actually have a program called Design Technology, and that does a little bit of both. You'll learn programming, so you can learn Unity, as long as you take the right classes, and you can have it actually design stuff as well. Not necessarily just games, it could be a lot of other stuff. So, Design Technology. Yeah. Alright, anybody else? Cool. Alright guys, good luck. Seriously, have a good day, have fun, get weird, and I hope all your games turn out well.